Joining me on this edition of Our Town via the internet, Althea Rizzo, she's the Geological Hazards Program Director in the Office of Emergency Management for the state here. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, you are so welcome. This alert or this notice came out about this thing called Shake Alert, and it caught my eye because it's one of those cool things that you never want to have to use. Tell me a little bit about this.
Sure. So Shake Alert is a new system that's being developed by the United States Geological Service, the USGS. And this sends out an alert once an earthquake starts. And it can be used in automated systems. For instance, water utilities could use it to shut off valves to protect their water supply, or, you know, large buildings can use it to bring elevators down to the ground floor. So there's a lot of ways that it can be used for automated systems. But another way that it can be used is to send out a public alert, much like Amber Alerts, to your personal device. And this is what is happening on March 11th, is we are basically flipping the switch so that the public can get this device on their, or get the alert on their personal devices.
So will this be an alert like we send our number in and then we automatically get a text, or is this an app that you have to download?
So there's three different ways that people can get it on their cell phones and devices. The first one is through the Wireless Emergency Alert System. That's the WEA system. It's similar to the Amber Alert. So, you know, your audience has probably seen those types of alerts before. It's a quick text message. It'll basically say shaking, you know, earthquake detected, shaking expected, drop cover and hold on. Another way that the public can get this information and get the alert is through a purpose-built app. And so Quake Alert USA will be available on March 11th, and that is an app you can download from the iPhone App Store or from Google Play, depending on which kind of device you have. And this will give you a countdown to when you can start to expect shaking. And then a third way is if you have an Android device, you will be able to get it just natively through the OS. So there's a number of different ways that people can get this alert on their personal device.
Now, is this a real-time alert, as just like the USGS would be getting when this happened, or is there a slight delay from when the USGS knows it to when we would know it?
There is a little bit of latency in the system, but that is being shortened all the time. The more instruments and seismic detection instruments that we can get installed, the shorter that time will be. But you will get seconds to tens of seconds worth of warning, depending how close you are to the earthquake. For the most part, it's you know, a few seconds, but that's enough time for you to drop cover and hold on.
Obviously, here on the coast of Oregon, we've talked for years now about the Cascadia subduction zone and the potential for a 9.0 quake. I imagine this would be something that would be very important to have for folks on this side.
Yeah, so over on the coast, you know, you're going to be getting the alert within seconds of the rupture starting. So you will have a few seconds worth of warning, but then the shaking will start. And then, as you know, if you are in an inundation zone, once the shaking stops, you want to get to high ground as soon as possible and stay there until the tsunami event is over. So we're really looking forward to learning all the different ways that we can use this to increase tsunami safety on the coast.
Now, there's a significance in the March 11th date. Would you explain that to folks?
Yeah, March 11th is the 10th anniversary of the Great Tohoku earthquake and tsunami that happened over in Japan in 2011. And we wanted to use this opportunity to just remind people that, you know, earthquakes can happen at any time, and that the time to prepare for a disaster is before they happen. And the earthquake from Japan did impact the Pacific Northwest, and several of our ports and harbors had several million dollars worth of damage from that event. And we did lose one individual down in California from that earthquake and tsunami. So it's just an opportunity to reflect on what we've learned about preparedness and then to think about how we can move forward so that we can be prepared when we do get a large Cascadia-style earthquake.
Did we also not get some debris from the Japanese earthquake on the coast?
Yeah, that was an interesting story. So quite a bit of debris came across. You know, there was a dock in Newport. There was a boat down in California, but a whole bunch of, you know, smaller pieces came across. And what we found from the Trans-Pacific debris that came from Japan is a lot of invasive species came with that. So it wasn't just an earthquake and tsunami. It was also an environmental hazard with those invasive species. But we certainly learned a lot about that from the debris issue from the Japanese event.
Now, I think one of the concerns might be that as I have been looking over, you know, the maps over the past couple of years, off the coast of Oregon and the coast of California, there are, you know, small to sometimes large earthquakes that don't necessarily have a tsunami implication for the coast, but they are something that's felt out there. Would someone that is part of the shake alert be getting that every time one of those kind of quakes went off?
Well, it really depends. So two different parameters need to be met in order to get an alert where you are. The first one is the magnitude of the earthquakes. You know, that's the 9.0 number that you sometimes hear. It's much lower threshold for shake alert. It's in the 4 to 5 range, depending on which alerting channel you're using. And the second parameter is the shaking intensity. And that can vary depending how close you are to the earthquake. So we might get, this is just for instance, you know, a 6.0, let's just say for argument's sake, in Coos Bay. But in Florence, the shaking intensity is low enough that it would not get an alert. So even though the magnitude might be high enough to meet that first threshold, somebody who's farther away may not get an alert because the shaking intensity where they are is below the threshold. And this is important because we don't want to over alert. We don't want to scare people unnecessarily by over alerting an area.
What are some of the parameters on shaking? In other words, what I'm trying to say is that what is it about the ground or about the area that might bring more shaking, even though you, or might bring less shaking, even though you might have a higher higher impact earthquake farther down the road?
Okay, so let me clarify a bit here, so that I make sure you're understanding what I'm trying to say. So you can have magnitude, we'll say 6 in Coos Bay. And so you might have a shaking of, for instance, Roman numeral 4 or 5 in Coos Bay. In Florence, it would still be a magnitude 6, but the shaking would be a lower intensity just because you're further away.
Okay, so it's just about distance at that point, not about the way the shale is or the way the earthquake is formed underneath.
Yeah, so there is some variance in shaking locally, depending on the soil type and the ground formation underneath you. You know, hard rock tends to not shake as hard, but be felt in wider areas. That's why. On the East Coast, smaller earthquakes are felt in a much wider range. Here on the West Coast, it tends to dampen quicker the further you get away from the earthquake fault rupture.
I guess that's like the difference in like when you throw a pebble into a lake and you see the large rings close to it. And then as it comes out, you see they're lesser and lesser and bigger as they get out farther away. It's not as disruptive
exactly.
As the first initial hit from the pebble.
Yeah, it's a difference between throwing it into a pond or a sludgy mud pit. You know, it's the same size rock, so it's the same size earthquake, but the seismic waves may move differently through the ground.
Have we had a lot of activity in the last year or so, or has it just been kind of status quo?
Yeah, I mean the rate of activity has been fairly normal. So we haven't seen any unusual activity outside of the normal range.
Because I wonder, because, you know, this is obviously an important item to have if you're in an area that is affected by earthquakes a lot. And I guess Oregon has the potential of, although we don't see a lot on a regular basis as far as things that make a shake.
Yeah, I mean, it is more rare to have large earthquakes here in the Pacific Northwest than for, say, California. But we do get damaging earthquakes with fair regularity. The last time we had damaging earthquakes was the 2001 Nisqually earthquake, which was, you know, the anniversary of that was today or yesterday, I believe. And that happened up in Olympia. And it did cause, you know, some shaking down into the Portland, northern Willamette area. But before that, you know, in 1993, we had the Scotts Mills earthquake and the Klamath Falls earthquake. The Scotts Mills earthquake damaged the Capitol building and damaged some schools around the area. And then the Klamath Falls earthquake in 93, you know, damaged some of the downtown buildings and the government building there. So we do get crustal earthquakes here in Oregon.
So tell me once again, how do people find out more about this, either the app or the WEA alerts? What do they need to do to make that happen as of March 11th?
Sure. So there's a website that they can go to get more information about Oregon's rollout for this, and it's orshakealert.us.
That seems pretty simple. Althea, is there anything else that is important to cover on this? Because I don't know a whole lot about earthquakes to maybe know all the right questions to ask.
What people can expect on March 11th is pretty much they won't even notice much at all unless we have an earthquake and they actually get an alert. If all goes well and we don't have an earthquake on March 11th, we're basically flipping the switch so that the public can get these alerts in the future. You might want to download the app and put it onto your iPhone. You might make sure that you have your phone set up to receive wireless emergency alerts. Some people have opted out of those, but it's really important to get these kinds of alerts on your phone so that you can know what's going on and where to go to get more information. And it's just a really good opportunity to stop and think about your family's preparedness efforts. You know, as we've learned in this last year, Mother Nature has some surprises for us, and disasters can happen at any moment. I mean, just remember back to March 11th, or, you know, back to last March, when everyone was trying to get toilet paper and baking flour. The time to prepare for an emergency is before the emergency happens. So take what you've learned over this last year and think about what your family can plan to do in the next year as, you know, the stores start to reopen and we start to emerge from our socially distanced caves. On what your family can do to get more prepared so that the next time we have an earthquake or we have a wildfire or we have a pandemic, you are much more prepared than you were yesterday.
I think we definitely have learned a lot from this last year as far as how to do that. And as I started this conversation with you off, this is one of the coolest things I think to come along that I hope we never have to use.
Me too.
Althea Rizzo, thank you so much. Althea Rizzo is the Geological Hazards Program Director for the Office of Emergency Management. Oh, was that an alert? Did we just get an alert?
No, nope, okay. That was my phone.
Okay. I'm glad that wasn't an alert. She's with the Office of Emergency Management with the state. Althea, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you in the future about other great preparedness projects.
Oh, I'm all for it, so keep in touch.
Awesome, thanks.
And that concludes our March edition of Our Town on Coast Radio.